Hello and welcome to this very special podcast brought to you by WazirX and CNBC TV 18, where we will talk about debunking the crypto myths in the industry here. While we have seen a huge amount of participation into the industry, the adoption rate has been quite strong and people are getting used to an understanding of cryptocurrencies and blockchain. But there still are various myths. We will try and understand, debunk them. Joining us for that is Harsh Rajat. He's founder at Ethereum Push Notification Service. We also have with us Rashmi Padhi. He's VP Business Operations at WazirX. Gentlemen, hi. Thank you so much for joining us. And crypto is perhaps the most fascinating investment tool of this generation. But just like every new digital technology in the market, it comes with uncertainties. There are people who are early adopters, and then there are skeptics. Even with the popularity that crypto has, how can we address the concerns of those who are skeptical about investing in crypto is what we're talking about. Harsh, what's your sense? I'm assuming you've met believers and you've met skeptics. How do you talk to both of those?
Hey, Monisha. Well, yeah, you are definitely right. I've met believers. I've met skeptics. Even my dad was a skeptic, though recently he has become a believer. I think both of the peeps, they are right. With any new technology, people will jump in or will get excited with the technology, or people will be scared or will call it an outright scam. It's just a phase. It happened with the internet. It happened with AI. It happened with driverless cars. It will happen with cryptocurrency. I would just say that they're both right. I would say skeptics are just people who need more time and who need more info to become a believer. So, yeah.
Harsh, I think the best example would come in from you itself. I mean, you believed in this, you created something. How has that journey been?
Yes. I mean, when I started into crypto back in 2016, I started with trading and I started with the classical strategy, which is followed by everyone, which is buying high, selling low. So yeah, I made a lot of loss while I started in this. But yeah, soon when I went into it, I realized that the way I'm looking at cryptocurrency is really wrong. I need to dig a bit more into it. Kind of like when we buy shares, we dig into what we are buying and what will the shares do. And that was the reason we created this blockchain-based token. So you're 100% right. My journey has been from a skeptic wherein I was losing money to a believer wherein I believe in it so much that we are creating the newest primitive of blockchain, which is communication.
Rashmi, the same question to you, because, you know, when you make a work choice, which is into this field, you're debunking myths to begin with, that there are possibilities here, there are opportunities here, starting right from the work part itself.
Yeah. Hi, Manisha. Yeah, absolutely. I think what we have to also see when it comes to skepticism, right? So I have been a person who has been on the sides investing and studying about crypto since 2017. And I always knew that this is something that I would probably jump in, but not before it was too late. So a little backstory, I came first across Bitcoin in 2010 when I was in the US and I did not invest then. And since then, I have not been investing till 2017, right? So I was a skeptic myself for the longest part of 7 years before I jumped in and understood what it is all about. I think, and whenever someone is coming as a skeptic and trying to ask about questions about it, I normally have got three, four things that I have in mind. The first and foremost is, crypto investments even today are very risky and people should only invest whatever they can afford to lose. That's a fundamental belief I believe in. And I tell everyone the same thing.
All right. That is quite interesting. So, you know, when both of you talk about a lot of learning that goes into this, and that's exactly my next myth that we need to debunk. This is about, you know, most people saying that they do not understand cryptocurrencies and blockchain. This is way too tech savvy. This is extremely complex as a tool. And most people just want to go by what people tell them to buy or sell to make money. A lot of people still do not understand the nitty-gritties or the details into this. Harsh, what would your advice be for them?
I would say, like, when you invest in shares, you try to learn a bit about the company you are investing in. I would say it's the same with crypto. So definitely look out what the project is doing. Definitely try to look out for the advisors or the investors of the project. If they are big, chances are they will not put their name with a project unless the project is doing something great. Then if you're not tech savvy, then I cannot really say go and dig out the white paper. But I would say do see if the project is backed by good investors and by good advisors, and do see the project community, like what they are seeing. Why would those things be important? Well, because a project can claim to do anything. A project can claim to solve hunger via blockchain. And you know, that is a project which you guys need to stay away from. But on the flip side, a project can really solve writing smart contracts on the blockchain, or becoming a global ledger for a global currency. And those things are legit, and those things are really fascinating, even from a non-technical perspective. So yes, my advice is, just like shares, whenever you go to the share market, you buy a share. Before that, you try to learn a bit about the company and what they are doing, and you know, who are backing them up, who are their CEOs, what are their qualifications. Those are the same things that applies to a project or a cryptocurrency when you are trading over here. Remember, this is a very early technology. So while you will not have a lot of detail about the technical part, or you will not have a lot of time to understand the technical part, and at times it's right, there are certain other factors which you can look into, which will make common sense to decide whether or not you want to invest in a project or a cryptocurrency or not.
Fair point that. So it always is about self-educating, reading, researching, talking about it. And then there is just so much information outside if you want to really read about it. So Rashmi, would you say the same? Because if there is a simpler way to talk about crypto investments for laymen, for beginners, there, much of that information is out there. And as Harsh said, you only have to want to read it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Harsh covered most of the points regarding how you can learn about that. There's one other thing that I would like to talk about a little more. I think this analogy that we are not tech people and we should not understand that, we need to move beyond that. When I say we have to move beyond that, tech, it doesn't mean that you need to know programming. Tech doesn't mean that you need to know how to write a program. Tech is far bigger than that, right? And it also comes because of our history to a certain extent. India hasn't seen tech companies go IPO or into the share market per se, right? In the past, we have seen tech services companies go there. And only recently, we have started seeing the tech companies with the likes of Zomato or Paytm, which is going live now. So we need to understand the basic functionalities of tech. How do tech evolve? We need to understand the history of tech in the US since 2000, how there were companies like Amazon, when it got established, what was the fundamentals then? How were they? How did they become the largest company in the globe today? From 2000, early days of going IPO to the share market till today, right? Learn that journey. We cannot go ahead and start understanding technology by seeing where we are today, but understanding where they began the journey. Be it Amazon, be it Cisco, be it Microsoft, be it Google, be it Facebook. Everyone has gone through that journey, right? And many people in the West have seen that and learned from that experience. We need to catch up really, really fast on that. Like, how do tech companies evolve, right? And then we have to apply that to that knowledge of tech company evolution to the blockchain or the crypto companies that are coming up. While doing that, Harsh mentioned about the team or the community which is developing the project, the product or the roadmap, how they are building the product. Are you believing in that or not? The and one important aspects about crypto company is the tokenomics. Now, all these are possible, and that much of hard work or effort has to be put into. If you are investing into a share market, you do invest into, you do put that much effort. I think in early days, we say put in that stock that will grow, right? But I think nowadays, investors are very savvy. they go through the fundamentals and research what they're trying to put into. They don't go running after penny stocks after all. And the same thing applies to the crypto market as well today.
Oh, well, absolutely. And I want to move on to another myth to debunk. And this is about the environment concerns here. And there have been raging debates on this one as well, that there is a massive amount of e-waste that crypto generates. And that has led to a lot of back and forth from the major names here. Harsh, how would you read this? And what is there to educate here?
Got it. So this is definitely a myth. So the myth originated because the Generation 1 blockchain, they worked on an algorithm called as proof of work, which in very simpler terms meant that the higher or the more popular blockchain becomes, the more computing power it will require to ensure that a transaction is added to the ledger. This was done to make sure that the hackers or people who want to compromise this blockchain, for them, the financial incentive keeps on increasing as the network keeps on increasing in the net worth, which is an amazing, amazing game theory. But that was just Generation 1 blockchain. We already are moving to Generation 2 and 3 blockchain. So now you are looking into different algorithms or different consensus-based mechanism, one of which is happening in Ethereum, is the proof of stake, wherein people will stake their Ethereum. And if they are doing something which doesn't form into the general consensus, or which is a malignant behavior, then they will be slashed. Even our push nodes are operating on the push POS or proof of stake mechanism. We also have proof of history mechanism that is coming with Solana, but it's more like a proof of a stake with some added components. Even this electricity waste, which we are talking about, it's actually a myth, because that really operates on algorithm and staking and slashing or rewarding or penalizing the behavior of a validator.
Thank you, Rajat. That clearly has been a big basket of myths which you just worked on right now. So, well, the sector is improving and the references clearly have been drawn with other industries as well. But I want to jump on to the other myth. And this clearly has been a long drawn conversation as well. I mean, this is something people talk about. And this one is to you, Rashmi, to begin with. People say that I bought a Bitcoin and there are so many competitions then standing tall with that. After all, there are 10,000 cryptocurrencies. So if I bought this and this didn't work and the other one did, how do I choose my cryptocurrencies? Is there going to be a huge competition with one cryptocurrency and another? How do you sort that out?
That's an interesting question there. So it is like saying, let's say there is a Reliance share in the market and LIC is coming with an IPO. Then because there are so many shares in the market, so LIC should not come an IPO. How do we compete against that, right? So no two cryptocurrencies or very few cryptocurrencies are same or solving the same problem. They are going after different industries. They are going after different product. They are going after different niches to solve for, right? Now, yes, there are some cryptocurrencies we probably be competing in the same space. Let's say the first level one blockchain, if you talk about, there is Ethereum, there is Cardano, there is Solana, there is EOS, and so many of them, right, including Bitcoin. And they are all giving a platform on which you can build smart contract and build more products on the top of them, right? Now, yes, they will all compete against each other. Now, as an investor, what we have to look into is which one is going to give us more gains, or which one do we believe in and we want to back that project. That's what entire investment into cryptocurrency is all about. Now, and similarly, they are not the only cryptocurrencies out there. There's so many other cryptocurrencies which are utility-based. There are gaming-based cryptocurrencies. There are storage-based cryptocurrencies. There are gas fee reduction, like level two solutions coming in cryptocurrencies. And there are more and more use cases evolving. DeFi projects. I can't miss the DeFi projects which are coming in, right? Now, there's so many different segments and categories of cryptocurrencies. And I personally, myself, I'm not able to understand each and every cryptocurrency is there, right? But I would only invest into products which I understand. And I would study that sector. I would study that those products out there, those companies out there, and invest into them. And I would recommend the same to others as well. You don't have to get blown away with all the deluge of information which is coming there. Pick your sectors that you understand, pick your players that you believe in, and then start investing into them.
Quantic. And this, the next myth really, Harsh, should have been the top of my list, because this is the most talked about. Is cryptocurrencies looking to replace fiat currencies?
Oh, wow. So, Monisha, I actually have a very detailed intake on it. So I would say they are not going to replace fiat currencies, but I also believe that they are the next innovation when it comes to money. So we just have to look back into the history and we realize, like, even the paper currency or fiat currency in its current form, that still is the third version of paper currency, which is not backed by the gold. The first paper currency or the first version of paper currency was backed by this gold, whether it came from any government. And before that, we had gold coins mostly, which we used to trade. So the reason we went from gold coins to paper money was because paper money has an added utility in which you can just carry it with ease. Gold coins, you cannot. Imagine how hard it would have been if every month we were going and queuing outside Netflix office or Tata Sky office or any other office and saying that, hey, my monthly subscription has expired. So now credit cards basically bought in the digital money concept. Now cryptocurrencies, they are improving over credit cards and what paper money offers in a way that these cryptocurrencies, they are intangible or they are incorruptible, at least most of them are. So that means that there's a transparent ledger, so people can send money across a border without any hassle. And still, you know, regulations can be applied to it. You can apply regulation when at an exchange level or when people are withdrawing those cryptocurrencies. If you look even deeper, so, you know, the DeFi thing, it's really, really innovating, as correctly put. The DeFi thing is actually banking at a global level done by smart contracts. And that is enabled by cryptocurrency. So I wouldn't say that cryptocurrencies will replace fiat. I say that they're the next innovation of money. And therefore, by that very nature, they will become more popular than fiat someday.
You know, I have to tell you this, Rashmi and Harsh, that because before I started this podcast, I was going around asking, okay, tell me your myths about this space so I know what questions really are, you know, floating around. And this one is the next. And this is something that the regulators also have talked about, on how crypto transactions are anonymous and they are cash for criminals. And they can, there is a possibility that they can fund cross-border terrorism and those kind of concerns as well. Rashmi, you want to take this up?
I think, yeah, this is a genuine concern for sure. But we need to also look into the numbers here. Across the globe, and including India, more than 99% of the transactions are legitimate and doesn't go into illegal or any illegal transactions or terrorism or any other activities per se. So we are talking about 1% of the transactions. Now, this percentage of transactions for a fiat or a paper currency is way higher than digital currency here. Now, even in that 1% of the transactions, if you see what is happening of late since the past few years now, that globally there are every information of the movement of money from there, which is available for everyone to see, is passed on to authorities, passed on to police of different countries, and are tracked at the minutest level possible. And this is not just that the government or the agencies have to do, but this is happening across the globe with organizations coming in there. Now, with that, it is even becoming more and more complicated for someone to take money on crypto and think they will run away with it. In fact, if you were seen in the news about a couple of months back, there were some transactions which are done in 2018 and they tried to liquidate and cash out the money and they got caught by the Fed because they were trying to move money and that trail was finally discovered. Now, moving money or taking money away for illegitimate transactions is increasingly becoming more and more difficult using crypto. And more so, if you have done that in the past also, there is a higher chances that you will get caught. So I think we will move towards a stage where crypto will become more and more cleaner. And from that 1% of transactions, which is probably going into legitimate money, will get down to 0.1 to 0.01% moving forward, and hence making the system more and more cleaner.
Thank you for answering that, Rashmi. And let's move on to the next myth then. I don't know whether it's a myth or it's a fear, really. And this is what I hear lots on whether I have missed the bus and I can't afford to buy a cryptocurrency at these higher levels right now. Is the technology moved way too fast, way too soon? Can I still be a part of this? Harsh, why don't you take this up?
Got it. Sure. So I'll just answer this with my own experience, guys. In 2016, Bitcoin was $1,000, and a lot of people were talking about it in India. And I was like, okay, Bitcoin is $1,000. It's not going to move anywhere more than that. And I invested in Ripple. Well, of course, we all know what happened next. So in short, the answer is no. We are still very early. I mean, as I said, we are building the first ever communication layer on the blockchain, which is built by Apple and Google on the traditional internet. And we are the first one to come and do it. So we are as early as this point that there is no communication layer that exists. And that's just one of the problems the blockchain has. With any new technology, you need to have an entire infrastructure that needs to be built by it. And a lot of Indian projects, they are becoming the innovators. I mean, I'm so proud of this fact that Indian projects are finally innovating. They're not service leaders. They're not copying a service. They are inventing something. We invented communication, but there are projects like Huddle that are inventing decentralized video. Then there's project like Byconomy that is doing meta transaction. Of course, there's WazirX, which are like the OGs of the Indian cryptocurrency revolution. And then there's Polygon that is scaling Ethereum. So I'm so excited about this space. And at the same time, I know that the problems which we are working on, or on the projects I mentioned, they are working on, or even Arcana, which is working on storage. These are very basic or nascent problems, which we are now working on, because we figured out that this is a better way to transform or transfer value from one person to the other, as it's really, really transparent. But now we are working on, okay, what else it can do. So it's more like AI in early 2013-2014, where we were figuring out, okay, AI is here and we know it works. Can it drive a car? Can it write a story? Can it predict what a picture would have looked like in 1700s? And all of these things were different tangents, which now are getting worked on. It's the same with cryptocurrency. We are so early that we have not even built the primitives of the blockchain. So it's still too early. You're still an early adopter. I would say it will be early for the next 4 or 5 years at least. And that's my take on it.
All right. That is great to know. Thank you, Harsh. And I have one more myth here, and this is about the regulation part of it, where people for the longest time have believed that this perhaps could get banned and you shouldn't be a part of that. Rashmi, we are slightly more wiser than that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have come a long way from there. I think let's put one thing clear, right? Crypto was never banned or illegal in India. Although the myth is that it might be illegal, it was banned at one point of time. What happened, though, where there were two main statements which are made, and that has caused a lot of confusion, right? The number one was by Arun Jaitley ji in the parliament when he said crypto is not a legal tender. Now, we many of us considered not legal tender means illegal. A lot legal tender means we cannot go to a grocery store and say we can pay in crypto and they have to accept it. By the way, the grocery store doesn't have to accept also US dollars. They can say no to that, or a gold coin. They can say no to that as well, right? So both US dollars and gold coin is not a legal tender in India. So crypto is same as a gold coin or a US dollars in comparison there. Then the second thing which led to this was the RBI ban of banks supporting cryptocurrency or a crypto exchanges or crypto merchants, right? Again, the key part here is the RBI banned the relationship between banks and crypto merchants. And that was overturned by Supreme Court after a couple of years. But that also led to a lot of confusion. This was not that they are banning cryptocurrencies. That's not possible. Now, if we come to the next level, I think there are a lot of confusions there, and which leads to articles saying that cryptocurrency is going to get banned and completely criminalized in India. I believe those are mostly fear or doubts getting raised in the public's mind. That is, that doesn't have any basis. And I think what we have to understand is, like, the regulation normally follows the market demand and supply, right? It is never the case that regulations is made first and then the market and everything starts following up. There are early adopters, like Harsh was saying about people adopting multiple technologies and multiple trends first, and then the regulations follows and regulates that market. A case in example is esports or the fantasy sports game, which was regulated a little later into the game, right? So cryptocurrency will also follow the same trend where markets are adopting and are requesting the governments now to start thinking about regulating, and government have shown statements that, yes, I think cryptocurrency are going to stay, that we can start thinking in how to regulate. And they are doing the research and how to do that. The second aspect of that is, let's assume, like, it's very unlikely, but let's assume something happens, right? They say cryptocurrency is getting banned. That doesn't mean that everyone is going to get arrested and thrown into jail. It doesn't mean that no one can pursue cryptocurrencies differently. You cannot ban an internet in India. And that's what banning cryptocurrencies today is about. Even if that happens, let's say, through some form or shape, there would be enough time given to public, enough things out in the public to take their recourse or the next action possible, right? So to summarize, investing in crypto is never illegal.
Yeah.
And you are not going to jail because you invested into cryptocurrencies. Those two are completely unfounded myths floating around, and you can move on from there on.
All right. Harsh and Rashmi, thank you so much for joining us today. Great work, that one. And we have been able to point-wise debunk a lot of myths today. And we really hope that the excitement and knowledge that both of you really brought about in the podcast has helped the listeners to a great extent. Thank you so much for joining us. And with that, we're signing off for this one. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Manisha.
Thanks, Manisha.